Okay. Very good evening to all the brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 18th. 18th of June 2020, Thursday class. So we'll continue from where we stopped yesterday. Page 110, lesson 21. Just relax body and mind. Then we can have our half an hour of silent awareness based meditation. By now, I believe most of you or all of you should be familiar with the way to develop the meditation. Always remember the four support. Relax into every mind state that have arisen. So relax body and mind. Be at ease. Without tension, without stress, without any problem. Then maintain awareness. Whatever arise, let it be. Whether heedless thinking or whatever, you just relax, maintain awareness. Then the thinking mind or mundane mind, if you still have the sankhara activity due to your lack of a stable spiritual faculties born of mental hindrance, let it arise. If you don't give it any attention, means you don't get yourself distracted by it or disturbed by it. If it cannot deceive you, delude you into conditioning you into heedless thinking or lost in thought, then it has no power over you. You just let it be. If you want to develop some understanding to support you, you can recite Sankara Anicchang, Sankara Dukkang, then silent your mind. Then just let things be. If you just let things be without arising the thought or any more thinking, then your silent mind will arise. Then your meditative mind will fall into place. Then all this sankhara activity or thinking, it will slow down and finally cease. Then you don't give it any more mental energy thinking. There is no more avijja. You can let things be, accept things the way it is. Just silent, relax, maintain awareness. Then allow this awareness to remain for as long as you can. Then observe with a silent mind. There is meditation. When you are able to silently observe the truth and the reality within life and your own form and mind, you will develop wisdom, you will develop understanding, you will understand clearly who are you, what are you, and the way things are. Because everything in this universe, they obey the Pancha Niyamas, the nature's law that governs life. So through observation, you will develop the wisdom and the understanding. That's how you awaken. That's how you can understand the essential Dhamma, the teaching. And from there, you will transform. Then you can slowly straighten your view after you have developed the understanding. Then you become different. You no longer stir your mind, react to sense experience. You can be at peace most of the time. These are the signs of progress. If you cannot silence your mind to observe all this, to develop the understanding, you are far behind from actual progress. The real progress is not fantastic meditation or fantastic mind state. The real progress is how little thought do you have. The less thought you have, the more progress you will have. And finally, when you are able to silence your mind, maintain awareness until there is hardly any thought, that is true progress. When you are without thought, you are with your silent mind, meditative mind, and that one can meditate, can understand, can awaken, can insight into phenomena, can give rise to wisdom. So meditation is just so simple. Relax, aware, maintain awareness. Then stay there to silently observe and develop understanding. That's what you need to do. The rest is not useful, not important. Okay? So now we are off the light. Then we can have our half an hour silent awareness based meditation. Those who need methods and techniques to support your meditation, you can do it. They are just skillful means to train your mind to develop sati. But sati can be developed once your spiritual faculties are developed. But because you lack stability of spiritual faculty, that's why you cannot have the daily mindfulness developed. And because of that, during the normal daytime throughout the day, your mind is not able to find order. Order means most of the time is attentive, heedful, mindful. But without that stability of spiritual faculty and mindfulness, you cannot do it. You tend to be heedless. When you are heedless, you will be lost in thought, and you cannot be in a meditative state. So understanding this is very important. So if you want to choose the method and technique or skillful means to help you train your mind, develop the sati, you can also do it. It's up to you. That is the old way, the traditional way. Then the other way is just like I said, relax, maintain awareness, then everything will fall into place. Then realize the silent mind and stabilize it. Then only you can use it to meditate. All those who use method and technique or any skillful means like mind sweeping method, combined metta, they will end up the same way. Because that training is to train your mind to be mindful. Anchor it to an object of meditation or the technique, the so-called technique and method. So when you anchor, you continue to develop it until it stabilizes, until the mindfulness becomes very stable. So instead of doing all this, why not you develop the spiritual faculty and meditate with understanding, relax, maintain awareness. Then straight away you realize the true mind, the silent mind without thought. You don't have to go through all those skillful means, method, technique, and the unnecessary thought-based meditation or doing. You don't have to. Okay? So now I let you meditate on your own. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can stabilize this mind state. These are the mind states that you have trained, you have developed, and you need them to develop the daily mindfulness meditation. So, as explained before, the formal meditation is a very good way to train your mind to have this sati within, or experience that silence, the tranquility, the stillness. That is your true mind. So realize that, then stabilize it, then silence everything, and just maintain awareness to develop the understanding. The understanding will arise by itself. And when the mind becomes so stable, so calm, so still, without doing anything, the mind will enter sati. And you will be one with whatever that arise. But the mind, the essence, the is always aware, mindful. Yeah. Your kaya, your specific phenomenal awareness, then later on your vedana, your citta, and your essential dhamma. All this you will start to understand and experience them within your own form and mind, and the awareness is just away, and through this awareness you will develop the understanding, and through the understanding you will awaken. Then the understanding is your right view, and you will be able to straighten your view, and the way you do things become different. Then you can understand many things. Then you will understand life, you will know how to live life. Then you understand what is the meditative mind, what is the mundane mind, why is the mundane mind not peaceful, heedless. All this understanding will unfold. Then you can see all the evil roots, the greed, hatred and delusion, the various manifestations. Then all your mental motive and intention behind, the subtle one, the subconscious and the unconscious, later on you will be able to go in and develop the understanding of it. So mindful observation, the silent mind in the meditative state, is very important. Then you have to train your mind until throughout the day is aware, mindful. So the daily mindfulness, born of the stable daily religious routine, is very important. Initially, you have to keep it up, until your mind enters sati, until you are most of the time aware, which means you have developed the ability to be ever mindful, constantly meditative. That is the heedful mind. Okay, now we can continue with our Heart Sutta. Turn to page 110, lesson 21. So part one is recap of what we have done. I think last Tuesday, the recent Tuesday, we were going through the seven factors of enlightenment, with particular emphasis on the first three. So we will go through it again. So this time, as a summary, it will give you clearer understanding too. So purification of sila, citta, and ditti. These are the three most important purification to develop the cultivation. Sila is morality. Okay, so purification of morality, that is, you have to keep your precepts, and to do that you have to train your mind to be mindful, to be aware. Then you have to develop the understanding of what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, then expand on it. Once you have done these two, then purification of morality or sila can be done. Because without a stable sati, there is no way you can be mindful of the evil roots. Then you cannot handle precept. What happened? What happened? Oh, didn't mute. You have to. Okay. Make sure your mic is mute. Otherwise, it will create distortion. Sorry about that. So for those who are new or just came in, check your mic. Make sure it's mute. So as explained, purification of sila or morality, you need to train your mind to be mindful, stabilize it, then understand what constitutes evil, expand on it. Then only you can do it. Otherwise you can't. Then in order to keep precept, you have to include the four right effort training. Because when the evil roots of greed, hatred, or delusion, any of these mind state has arisen, you have to arise the right effort to abandon it. Otherwise, you cannot keep your precept. They are the roots of all evil. They will break. They will cause you to break your precept. These are the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Yeah? Okay, now I read through, then you will understand. What is it? Huh? Oh, no need, 不要, no need, no need. You just let it be. No need. When I need you to bring out, I will let you know. Because you will interfere with the sharing. Just let it be. Okay, purification of sila or morality or virtue is very important. That is the first thing we need to do. Then the second one is from purification of sila, we move on to purification of citta. Citta means content of consciousness, means when the content went in, then it become a thought. So that is what citta is all about. So the content that went in, there is this mind state within. So mindfulness of the content of consciousness means mindfulness of the sankhara content inside there. You have to be mindful of all the mental volition or chitina within, and all the movement, emotion. That's why sankhara, mental states, they are all there. All the views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, they are the content of consciousness. And all this, you must see them through the silent mind, through mindfulness, through awareness. That's why purification of citta, content of consciousness, is not easy. When the content of consciousness has greed, you must be aware. When the content of consciousness is peaceful, you must be aware. When it's without the evil root, you must also be aware. And when the content of consciousness is of the various mind state, you must develop the awareness of it. So when you are aware, you are sensitive. Then when you are sensitive, you will know whether they are wholesome or unwholesome. That's how mindfulness becomes very important. Without this ability to be aware, to be mindful, you are not sensitive. You cannot cultivate. Even keeping precept is a problem. So all this mindfulness training, when you do it well, it will lead to purification. First is moral conduct, purification of moral conduct, sila visuddhi. Then content of consciousness, citta visuddhi. Then after that, the third one is purification of views. All the wrong view with regards to self, sakkaya ditti. When you develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma, you will understand all this. So purification of view is very important. The three types of spiritual right views: karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. So right view with regards to the law of karma, right view with regards to the law of mind. Then the last one is right view with regards to all the nature's truth, essential dhamma, dhamma. So you look at the three types of purification, it corresponds to the three types of spiritual right views. The first one, sila visuddhi, or purification of morality or virtue, which is sila, come from the right view in regards to law of karma. Because we understand this law of karma, we need to take care of karma, because karma forms such a great part of our life. Each and every one of us, like the Buddha say under the five daily contemplation, the fifth one, he said, we are all, not only human beings, even living beings. born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So if you look at this statement of truth, then you will come to realize karma forms such a big component of our life. Almost 100% of our life depend on karma. Because the moment we are born, it is due to our karma, born of our karma. Then we inherit everything that the karmic nature conditions us into. That's why you are born of karma, heir to your karma. Then every moment, every instant, you are conditioned and supported by your karma. Then finally, whatever happened to you, you are what you are because of your karma. So literally, 100% of your life depends on karma. So if you don't take care of karma, what is going to happen to your life? You are going to suffer. You are going to become miserable, severely afflicted. You can never have the good life. Understanding this will enable you to understand why the advice of the Buddha is such. But the advice of the Buddha came from this right view of, with regards to the law of karma. So if karma is so important, we have to take care of karma. The question is, how do you take care of karma? Then the Buddha already knew the answer. That's why he advised all living beings. You have to avoid all evil, whatever wholesomeness that you have the condition to do, you must do. So avoiding all evil, do good, is essentially taking care of karma. Then the third advice, purification of mind, is to develop the wisdom, the understanding to liberate your mind. So the first two advice come from this. Then the Buddha also knew to avoid all evil, you have to keep the five precepts. That's why precepts are introduced. Panchasila, the five precept minimum. And what are sila? Sila are moral rules. If you violate them, it constitutes major evil. You can check them, all the five precepts the Buddha introduced. Summarize to you. First one is panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, means I undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to following. So we have to inquire, why did the Buddha say this? And who will do this? What type of person will do this? Who is willing to kill and harm fellow living being, or dare to kill and harm fellow living being? So obviously we will understand it must be a deluded person who don't understand this teaching, this Dhamma. Then the next one is selfish person, greedy person. Then the third possibility is a violent person. A very violent person. Yeah. So all these are evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So the three evil roots, they are there. That's why you violate that precept, you commit major evil. And when you kill and harm, the fruition of it is in future, you will be killed and harmed by others. You become the victim. Others will kill and harm you. If that is not what you want, then keep your precept. Develop wholesomeness, kindness, virtue. Do not commit evil. So the other precept you investigate, inquire, check, is the same. It will unfold to you the same answer. So now you understand why the Buddha recommend that you keep the minimum five precepts. It is for your own good, out of love and compassion for the living beings. The Buddha advised all living beings to keep the minimum 5 precepts. So 5 precepts is out of love and compassion for you that the Buddha advised you to keep. It's not to make your life difficult. Please understand that and do not complain about precepts. Develop this understanding so that you are very mindful of the precepts, because it's never worthwhile to violate them. You don't believe me? You find out yourself. Because in the early days of my cultivation, I remember it showed it to me. Everything that I do, wherever I never able to maintain that precept, sometimes at the very subtle level of mental intention. The moment the mental intention arises on it, immediately the coming repercussion of friction will come back. And it showed it to me. You cannot violate, not worthwhile. This is the nature's law. And it's also partly because of my past cultivation. That's why it showed it to me in life when I was young. There was one incident, I remember, Chinese New Year. I mismanaged my mother's ang pao money. My father passed it to me. He trusted me to hand over the ang pao to my mother. We all children all get 2 ringgit per person. But my mother and my father offer her 12 ringgit. So I opened up the red packet. I saw 12 ringgit. I thought if I take 2, my mother will not know. That mental intention alone, straight away I felt something. All right. And that year was the year I lost all my money before Choyat. Normally that 2 ringgit I have, I can make 100 over ringgit, sometimes 200 over ringgit. Yeah, I'm very good at card game, mahjong and all those things. So during Chinese New Year, we have a few days of this gambling session. We are small village. The only activity is have this type of New Year game celebration and all those things. And that one really very chair one. Those who have heard the story, I think they know. Otherwise, you go and listen to the recorded video or audio. That one showed me something is not right. That time I was only 8 years old. But I knew it's something very important, teaching me a lesson that this is wrong, this is not right. And so obvious, it showed it to you. Because stealing from parents is terrible karmic. So the luck like rotten. Everything is against me. Yeah, my mind power at the time, though I was young, my mind is very quiet. Because very pure. Then when I will something, it will come on. When I want that cut, it will come on. My willpower very strong, I remember. But after I mismanaged or steal 2 ringgit from my mother, that whole occasion after that was terrible. Like you sway until moon up. There is no way you can handle it. Everything is so negative. You hit back. Until I realize I cannot do that. That's why after that I never mismanage money again. I never steal, I never deceive, I never cheat, I never think. So all this, they will come to you. Then later on in life, also a lot of things show it to me. Then I realize this is the nature's law. Law of karma, you cannot violate. So when you understand, it becomes so different. But towards the later part, I recollect back my life after 1989, after I understood the whole thing. Then I came to understand that all this is meant to be because my past cultivation, my past understanding, they will arise the causes and conditions for my form and mind to learn while I was young. And all these are the signs that keep on coming, that will unfold and let me understand. That's why since young, I knew as I grew up, I was not a normal kid. My life is not the normal one. And I can sense it because I saw a lot of these signs, this type of thing happening to me. And a lot of strange phenomena too, the way I reflect, contemplate, look at nature, look into the sky, the heaven, the star system, they inquire. Very strange. And many things happen. So this purification of morality is very important. Hopefully by now you should have developed the understanding. Then the second purification is citta visuddhi, purification of content of consciousness, means citta, mind. That's why the second right view is citta niyama, correspond with this purification of citta. So this is a nature's law. Citta is mind, mundane mind, the thought. So purification of thought means to develop the understanding of this mundane mind. How it conditions you into negativity, how it creates all this suffering in fellow living being, how through wrong view, sakkaya ditti, self-delusion, all this arise. That's why mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. The moment I heard the Dhammapada was 1 and 2, I straight away knew what it was. And I straight away determined not to violate the Dhammapada was 1. Determined to train my mind to be ever mindful, heedful, so that I will act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, a pure mind. That is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Only then, happiness will follow me, like the shadow that never leaves. That's why my life was like very perfect, meant to be full of joy, full of happiness, full of tranquility, stillness, peace, and understanding. And everything is so beautiful, wonderful, like meant to be. So when you have this understanding, you become different. So Dhammapada was 1 and 2, you will understand and you will determine, like the wise one, intent on heedfulness. They will rejoice in the rhyme of the Aryas. Dhammapada was 1 and 2. Oh, sorry, 22. No, 1 and 2. Dhammapada was 22. It's supposed to be 21, 22, 23. Not 1 and 2, sorry. So this citta niyama, the three types of spiritual law, spiritual law in regards to law of karma, spiritual law in regards to the law of mind. This law of mind is linked to paticca samuppada. So when you have mindfulness, you not only can see the content of consciousness, you can also understand how you function as a human being. How your mundane mind actually functions, the dwelling paticca samuppada. Dependent or ignorant, it conditions sankara activity, karmic volition, karmic sankara activity, means all the mental activity. So when you start to develop thinking through mental activity, sankara, you make contact with the brain. And the brain is an organ. That's why dependent on this sankara activity, which is the mind making contact with the brain, it arises mental consciousness, vijnana. So this mental consciousness, initially when it arises, it is just the pure vijnana without the content. Just like the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's just the seeing consciousness. There is no one to see. So this vijnana will condition namarupang, the fourth link. So namarupang means the form and mind, the five areas of form and mind, the second aspect where the content of consciousness has gone in. So this one, the third one, This is the vijnanam. This is the pure consciousness before the content goes in. The moment the content goes in, it becomes namarupa. So this is your thought process. We call it the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind, where the five aggregates of rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, vijnana are inside there. Initially, it's just the receptacle, the pure vijnana. Then the content went in. The content is basically sankara. Sankara is vedana, sanya, and sankara. Vedana sanya is part of sankara. Actually, sankara is the whole content of consciousness. So, how did the rupa goes in, the mental aggregate? It's through your perception aggregate. When you perceive something, the external form, external rupa, enters the mind. That's how the five aggregate went in. So the first falling is very easy to understand when you have the mindfulness and the understanding. Avijja paccaya sankhara, you will know. Because there is ignorance. You don't know the truth. You don't have the Dhamma understanding. The three right view with regards to spiritual law of karma, mind, and Dhamma. That's why you stir your mind. You react. You go and think. And you create sankhara activity. Your mind is not heedful, not mindful, not peaceful. That's why it thinks a lot. The deluded one thinks a lot. They are very heedless. You don't believe me, you can go and check. So avijja paccaya sankhara keep on happening in the heedless living being. The unenlightened puttujana, because they are heedless, they think a lot. Then sankhara, mental activity, will create mental contact and it will trigger like the physics experiment, the light bulb lights up. Means the mental consciousness arises. If it's seeing, the seeing consciousness arises. If it's hearing, the hearing consciousness arises. So the respective sense of consciousness will arise. But they need the brain, because the brain is the one that perceives. Through memory. Then the content of consciousness went in. That's why vijnanam paccaya namarupam. So because of this five aggregate of form and mind, the Buddha knew, he said, dependent on this five aggregate of form and mind, there must be sense basis, salayatana. Otherwise it cannot arise. Because this is the way things are, paticca samuppada. So salayatana is the sense basis. Then it will condition contact. That's why contact is pasa in Pali. Then contact will condition feeling, vedana. Then this one moves very fast. Vedana paccaya tanha, very fast, without wisdom, without the initial wisdom, without the understanding and the mindfulness, the sensitivity of mind. Feeling straight away get conditioned into craving and you cannot stop. Then because there is craving, it becomes conditioned into grasping. Then from grasping, you develop becoming. You become that thing that conditions you, like lust or anger. Lust will condition you to be very, very lustful. Means the whole of the content of consciousness has engulfed you. Then you take birth. Birth means you actually acted out of it. We call it acted out of it means transgression. You are transgressing out into action, speech, and thought process. Transgression. Like when you become lustful, you take birth to become a rapist, you go and rape people. Or anger, you become very violent, you become a violent guy. You take birth and you go and create all the suffering to fellow human beings. So Anger, you can kill, you can harm, you can cause a lot of disruption to people's life and activity. So you look at the protesters, demonstrators, all those who act violently. They have this type of becoming. Then they take birth, transgression. Then when you act this way, the whole mass of suffering will arise. That's how it conditioned jara marana, followed by all the various dukkha activity or suffering activity. So from birth come old age, sickness and death, leading to sorrow, lamentation, grief, etc. Hence arise the whole mess of suffering. So jaramarana, a lot of Pali word. So I translate to English is evil condition, old age, sickness and death, leading to sorrow, lamentation, grief, etc. Hence arise the whole mess of suffering. So this is how Patijasamuppada move. Then at the point of contact, actually at the moment of avijja paccaya sankhara, there is also mental contact. Do you realize? That's why I have this U-shaped thing. This U-shaped thing. Upon contact, if it's ignorant contact, the whole cycle is one of ignorance. Then ignorant contact will condition feeling and craving straight away. You cannot stop. Because there is avijja. So here, it comes down, then it moves to vedana, then straight away, tanha, upadana. But if you have mindfulness, before it moves from vedana to tanha, you already know. You already aware. That's why it will stop there. Feeling will remain as pure feeling. Your mind will not stir. Tanha is when your mind stirs, reacted. Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, that craving has a reason. Yeah. Before the craving, the number 8 link is not there. If your feeling can remain as pure feeling because you have wisdom, you can accept people the way they are. You can accept the reality of the moment. Your thing is just the way it is. And people are just the way they are. Then you are at peace. When you are at peace, craving cannot arise. That's how the link 7 will stay as pure feeling. Non-grasping. That one need wisdom. You need sukmanasakara, otherwise you can't break free. So 7 link is very powerful. If you have wisdom, it can stop there. It's not you cut a feeling. You don't cut. Practice letting go. No such thing. It's either you have the initial wisdom or the wisdom, or you don't have. You don't have means vedana paccaya tanha, straight away you will go. Non-stop. Manifest. But when you have the understanding, the initial wisdom, that it can stop there. That's how wisdom free the mind, liberate the mind, and make you at peace. When there is no tanha means your mind do not stir anymore, it's at peace. You can accept the reality of the moment. That's how you develop the ability to be peaceful. Aware. Then the mind is silent. It does not stir. Then it just let things be. Then there is clarity, there is understanding. And then it acts. It can still act. Act with wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. That's how the Dhamma unfolds. Then when you act with Noble Eightfold Path, the link 8 to 12 ceases to be. We are Noble Eightfold Path is without ignorance, without avijja, without tanha, without all this. So Noble Eightfold Path is advice of the Buddha. It's the meditation. It's actually Sila, Samadhi and Panya. Is mainly Panya. That's why everything is right view, leading the right thought leading the right speech, right action, right livelihood. Then the four right effort. Then right sati and samadhi. So noble eightfold path, if you act in that way, there is no ignorance, there is no delusion. And right view will prevent you from having that. So from there onward, all the craving link onward cease. They can never arise. That's how the enlightened being become different from the normal living being. Yeah. So noble eightfold path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And like the Buddha say, if you cultivate this noble eightfold path until it become a part of you, you have the embodiment of this noble eightfold path, then you will realize the enlightenment to free you from all suffering. It will lead to the end of all suffering. That's why the fourth noble truth is very powerful. If you were to cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Yeah. Which means noble eightfold path is the meditation. When you develop that, perfect it until you have the embodiment of this noble eightfold path factors in you, then you become an enlightened being. Then you are incapable of your negativity. Then your life becomes different. You are a noble one. You get to live the life of an enlightened being, which is the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. Then life takes a turn. Life becomes meaningful, beautiful, wonderful. And that should be the aim of all cultivators, in fact, all Buddhists. Yeah. If you can really understand all this, then you will go all out without hesitation to cultivate this understanding. But this is most important. What else is more important? Not all the wealth in this world. Because the wealth can never free you. It can never give you the good life. Maybe it will help you have the means to enjoy life. But if you don't have the help, you also cannot enjoy life. You don't have understanding, you also cannot have the good life. You will also suffer, you become miserable. You will still have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, conflict within your mind state. You are seldom at peace. Despite the wealth, you are not happy. Then what for? That if you are deluded, wealth can bring more problem to you. So all this understanding will unfold when you have the Dhamma, when you understand the teaching. Okay, so we go back to the purification. So we have finished Sila Visuddhi, Citta Visuddhi. And the last one is Ditti Visuddhi. Ditti means the essential Dhamma on the Buddha. So the third right view is Dhamma Niyama. Means right view really regards to all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. No, come back to just now the notes there. Okay. So no need to jump, I will read from here.
Okay.
So the last purification of view also tie in with the third right view, the spiritual law. So you realize Kama Niyama, Citta Niyama and Dhamma Niyama, they mesh with the three types of purification, which is purification of morality, Sila Visuddhi, purification of Citta, content of consciousness, then purification of views or the views. So this one is based on all the three important spiritual view, spiritual law. So right view regards to the three important spiritual law is very important. Then followed by the fourth stage of purification is purification by knowledge and vision of overcoming doubt. Are all very important cultivation. So this purification by knowledge and vision of overcoming Taoist, when you are aware of the 10 defilements of insight, how they trap you and cause you to be complacent and deceive you into believing that you have already become enlightened. So once you are able to develop the understanding, means you have developed the purification by knowledge and vision of overcoming doubt. Means you have no more doubt. From now onward, you will not be deceived by the defilements of insight. They have no power over you. You will not become complacent. And you will not allow yourself to make believe that you have become enlightened. Then you will continue to persevere to develop the cultivation. Okay, you just give me a minute. I will read to you the actual meaning. Okay, so this purification of overcoming doubt, there will be no more doubt because you have overcome the 10 defilements of insight that binds cultivator to complacency and misguided belief of realization. These are the exact words. Complacency and misguided belief of realization. So you can avoid that, means you have succeeded in developing the fourth purification by knowledge and vision of overcoming doubt. There is no more doubt after that. Because a lot of people not sure. After they develop some form of progress, then they thought they have become enlightened. Then do you know what they will do or not? They will go and check out the sutta, the book, then try to compare whether they have it or not. Then sometimes they still not sure, they go and ask their teacher. Hopefully the teacher confirm. But they never read the salutation to the Sangha. Salutation to the Dhamma. Under the salutation to the Dhamma, the Buddha already recite for you to develop the understanding. He says, Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. You should check that. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. And what is this Dhamma? The Buddha said it has all these characteristics. Sanditiko. Can be realized in the here and the now. You check whether yours is sanditiko or not. Or people tell you die only can know. After you die, you go to certain heavens and all those things. The second one is akaliko. Means this Dhamma is timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. How you check? If your cultivation is thought-based, how can you realize akaliko? The Dhamma that is beyond thought, beyond time. Where yours is thought-based, knowledge-based. Straight away you know that it's not the correct one. So, sanditiko akaliko, then ehi pasiko, can be investigated on, can be tested. You can check for yourself in life. Then upata iko. This Dhamma is leading inward into the heart. Then after upana iko is pancang veditabo vinohiti. This one is most important. Pacetang means can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Then why must you check? The one that awakened, we realize, will understand straight away. Only the wise can understand. That's why when it happened, my nature knew. The unconditioned, the timeless, the cessation is so different, so beautiful, so wonderful. No more doubt, very clear. And it really awakened you. And you straight away will understand. The form and mind that is connected to it will understand. That's why it's so beautiful. So this part of the understanding is very important. So to overcome this doubt, you have to realize the real Dhamma. Then you check under salutation of Dhamma. You recite them and go through. If you have all the quality as mentioned by the Buddha, then you are on the right path. You have realized the correct one. But actually, for those who have gone through, you no need to check. You will rejoice when you read what the Buddha mentioned. Everything is just the way it is, as mentioned by him. So beautiful. Okay, we go on. Purification of sila, citta, ditti, then the fourth purification of all coming down, by knowledge and vision of all coming down, we have covered. This is especially so for the first three purification, where one must get it right. So as mentioned earlier, sila visuddhi, citta visuddhi, and ditti visuddhi, you must do it. You must get it right. Well, this is the basis. From here, everything follows. If this first tree is not cultivated properly, your whole cultivation debate. If you don't go ahead with sila visuddhi, means training your mind to be heedful, then keeping your precept to purify your sila, morality, virtue, means you are not on the right path. You are not following the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So a lot of people don't like to develop this understanding. Because to them, five precepts is for the new Kayanamitta or new Buddhist practitioner or for the Sunday school children. They think they already more than qualified. They think they go for 8 precepts, 10 precepts, the higher monk precepts, what does they? But actually, sila visuddhi got nothing to do with all those higher precepts that you think about. It's the basic 5 precepts first. If this one also you cannot handle, you cannot achieve or develop, then you are not doing it the correct way. That you cannot purify your citta, content of consciousness, you are not sensitive. Your mind is not mindful, not sensitive. You don't have the understanding, and you cannot see the essential Dhamma, the teaching. That's the reason why you realize, you will come to realize a lot of so-called Buddhist practitioner or cultivator, they ignore all this. They don't know what this is. They straight away say they want to do citta no personal. But cittanupassana is not the way they believe or think and do. The four foundation of mindfulness has to be done after step 7 of the Avijja Sutta. So all this, they don't understand. That's why it's not easy. Then after you have purified your citta, then only you can go on doing the cultivation to purify your views. First is Sakkaya Ditti, self-delusion. You will see it in the meditation. You will understand all this. Then after that, right view in regards to law of karma, you see it because you have done Sila Visuddhi. Then right view in regards to the mind, the mundane mind, Citta. You also will see it because you have done it under Citta Visuddhi. Then the final one is to break free the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, and to realize self-delusion, to transcend that wrong view with regards to the self, sakkaya ditti, self-delusion. So that one, the moment you break that, you will become a sotapan, at least, the first stage of sainthood. So for the first three purification, you have to get it right. The understanding of Dhammapada verse 183 on the advice of the Buddha is also very important, for it's the base. Oh, sorry, for it is based on a deep understanding born of right view in regards to the law of karma, which I have explained. Then, starting, of course, with the first advice, all evil is to be avoided. So our number one inquiry must be what constitutes evil. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are the root of all evil. So is your mental intention behind all your actions, speeches, and thought process are with these evil roots, then they will condition you to become very evil, hence creating one's negativity of karma. Yeah, you reap what you sow. Take for example, selfishness and anger. Once these evil roots are there, they can condition you to kill and harm and take advantage of a situation for your personal selfish gain. Then anger can make you violent, abusive. Then you can end up killing and harming people and causing a lot of havoc or riots. Then Sankara, mental states of content of consciousness. There are 52 of them, and some are wholesome and some are unwholesome. So we need mindfulness or heedfulness to be aware of them so that we can avoid all evil via the heedful mind. The heedfulness and sati or mindfulness. Sorry, with heedfulness and sati or mindfulness, we can see clearly how our mind gets conditioned into negativity. Mind states with this evil roots is our own ignorance and self-delusion. How we get ourselves entangled with the evil mind state of anger, hatred, selfishness, lust, envy, and jealousy, fear, worry, anxiety, etc., to our lack of understanding of the noble truths, thereby conditioning us to grasp and cling onto the unreal, which has the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, or empty nature of all phenomena. Without wisdom, we will not understand how we are conditioned into negativity. That's how living beings who are heedless get themselves entangled. Understanding the third noble truth, that may not be if we had develop the wisdom before confronting the first noble truth, reality of life and existence, is very important, and that enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Once we have awakened to the three universal characteristics of nature, then our mind is liberated. We will no longer have this sakyadity or self-delusion. So third noble truth is very important. Because the Buddha said, Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now. Suffering need not be when you have the understanding of his teaching. So this will give you the understanding. Then it will give you hope. Because from this third noble truth, you will come to realize that suffering is an option. You need not suffer according to the Buddha. Suffering need not be. It doesn't mean that life is suffering. You are destined for suffering because the moment you are born in this world, you have to suffer. No, no such thing. The first noble truth explains the prevalence of suffering. There's a noble truth that explains how suffering can arise if you confront the eight realities of life and existence without the teaching, without the wisdom, then suffering will arise, affliction will arise, you will be affected. Then the prevalence of suffering is everywhere. So this first number two explains to you, us, that you go through life long enough, you will confront these eight realities. And before you have the wisdom, when you confront them, you will definitely suffer, become afflicted, miserable. So this brings about the condition for me to explain the prevalence of suffering in this world when you are deluded, heedless, when you don't have the Dhamma understanding, the wisdom as taught by the Buddha. So the big difference between the heedless, deluded, and the heedful and awakened one, wise one, is the heedless, deluded one. They don't have this Dhamma understanding. That's why they get themselves entangled. They get themselves entangled with the law of karma. They don't understand how that law functions. They don't even understand that the three evil roots are the root of evil. That's why they continue to react to life through their mental hindrance. When they lack the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance condition them into negativity of mind state. They will have sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor. Then restlessness of mind, fear, worry, anxiety that condition them. Then doubt. All these five will make you weak because they will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why they are called mental hindrance. It hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. So when this happens, you cannot be at peace. You cannot be in the state of meditative inner awareness, inner mindfulness. You cannot have the silent mind to see things as they are. You cannot have the clarity of mind state to be mindful, to be aware, because you are so heedless. Constantly lost in thought. You think a lot. You worry a lot. you do a lot of funny things. You are too busy planning, worrying about life. So a lot of people, they plan, they worry, they scheme. So for those who are not heedful, who don't have the Dhamma, they will have a lot of problems because they are always busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. They think a lot. So much so, they miss out on life. They never get to really live life because they cannot understand what is going on. So this teaching of the Buddha is very, very important, very powerful, especially the Four Noble Truths with the essential Dhamma spinning off from there. You have to understand them, then put them into cultivation, then realize them, awaken to it. And then you will have the clear understanding of who you are, what you are, and what life is. Then you will know how to live life. Then your life will transform. You will become beautiful. And life become meaningful, wonderful. That's what Buddhists is supposed to do. Your ultimate aim in life is to realize this understanding, to awaken so that you can live life wonderfully, beautifully, meaningfully. So hopefully by now, all these are already very clear. So I will read on. With wisdom and awareness, one can just be aware and let things be. We are seeing things as they are. And then there will be no more suffering. One can then just echo and flow with condition without any resistance. Hence, there is no more suffering and unhappiness. We are wanting things our way, which is not nature's way or the reality, which is what is. We cannot argue with nature or with the reality, what is. So this paragraph is the most powerful. You need this wisdom to free your mind. The awakened one will have this understanding. But if you can read through, reflect, contemplate, and develop the understanding first, you can also straighten your view based on the contemplative wisdom. But this is very important. So I read again, you listen. Sati or mindfulness. I read again on top. With wisdom and awareness is sati, one can just be aware. Can you do that? Aware and let things be. Let things be means what? Because according to the Buddha, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind that. So it's already said, that is the reality. If you want things your way, you will suffer. Why can't you maintain awareness, silence your mind, aware, and observe, let things unfold, because thing is just the way it is. The reality, condition like that, things be like that, it has to be this way, no other way. So this understanding is very powerful. It liberates your mind. That's why ability to see things as they are is very important. So if you have wisdom and awareness or mindfulness, you can just be aware and let things be. We are seeing things as they are. Means you can accept the reality of the moment. Then there will be no more suffering. That's how you solve your problem. Yeah. But a lot of people don't know how to use this, don't know how to apply. You know what they will tell you? But still, my problem is still there. My financial problem, my health problem, all the first number two one. They don't know how to apply this. Because they have this delusion within. Even if it's health problem, financial problem, or relationship problem, or whatever, do you know what is the meaning of thing is just the way it is? Because you have lived your life that way, that entangle you to have all this health problem, or it could be due to karmic from the past. Similarly, financial problem, relationship problem, career problem, or whatever problem born of the first noble truth reality. So if you have right view, straight away you can accept, because it is due to your action, your karma, past and present. The way you live your life, it conditions you into that. So if I accept the reality first, I don't want to talk about right and wrong or problem. I accept that right view, understanding first, what happened? I'm at peace, which means my mind will not project. I will not develop the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow, and the lamentation. That is what suffering is all about, the whole mess of suffering. So if you don't project your thought, you don't go and create all the fear, worry, anxiety, then you are at peace. When you are at peace with the moment, the reality, then you act. How do you act? Noble Eightfold Path. You reflect with right view. Okay? That is what has happened due to karma that conditioned me into all this. What must I do? Where you have clarity of mind, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, none of the evil roots. Then with that clarity, you ask yourself, what happened? Okay, these are the reality. Health problem, financial problem, or relationship problem, or career problem, or whatever problem. Okay? Problem is only a problem when you perceive it with negativity and fear. If you don't perceive it with negativity and fear, it will be just the reality. So after I understood what happened, I asked myself, this is right view. I'm at peace. So what must I do? I must act according to Noble Eightfold Path. I do what I have to do. So three things. I need to ask for forgiveness, repentance, I do. Then I vow not to repeat this. We are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind to cultivate the Dhamma. I do. Then the third way is to invoke power of merits for turnaround. That's how you overcome your life situation and problem. It's so easy. And it really works. No need to pay money. No need to spend all the unnecessary money. The Dhamma is free. Can be done. And this one is better than go and see all those psychiatrists. Doctor is one of them that take all the medication. But please, don't go and say, Brother Theo tell you not to go. No, no. If you don't have the Dhamma, if you are stuck, you need to go, you better go. But if you have the Dhamma, you don't have to. That is how my nature understands. I have brought a lot of people out of depression. And they turn around beautifully and they can give up their medication and all things. And their mind state stabilized and they become very happy. No more such suffering and misery. So all this can be understood. But what I'm worried are those with the coming negativity. They go and see medium, they go and see the bogus type of doctors and others. Well, in the past, they did all this nonsense. So now, there is condition for them to become the victim. That's why they end up seeing all this medium and other things. Or Kong Wu Lo, they call it. Or Feng Shui people and others. So, if you don't have the number, you can end up like that because that is coming. So understand, whatever that arise and happen, it is due to your past coming action. So when they come to friction, it will arise and you will become the victim. So when you understand, first, very most important first step is to accept this reality with right view, be at peace, then work towards resolving it amicably, following Noble Eightfold Path. Having the right view with regards to law of karma, then act with Noble Eightfold Path and resolve things amicably. Now I read on, you will understand. Huh? So with wisdom and awareness, one can just be aware and let things be. We are seeing things as they are. And then there will be no more suffering. One can then just accord and flow with condition without any resistance. Hence, there is no more suffering and unhappiness. We are wanting things our way or projecting our thought, which is not nature's way or the reality, which is what is, the isness of things. We cannot argue with what is nature, the reality. Then sati or mindfulness, which is the first enlightenment factor, and the most important spiritual faculty is very important. Because without sati, there is no heedfulness. And without heedfulness, there is no spiritual life. Without sati, one cannot investigate the Dhamma, second factors of enlightenment. To strengthen one's faith and virya, one must investigate into the following important Dhammapada verses. Verse 1 and 2, verse 21, 22, 23, and Dhammapada verse 183, and confirm that this truth stand up to investigation, thereby establishing our faith in the law of karma as explained by the Buddha, to reaffirm our right view with regards to this law of karma. This is the first thing you have to do, and very powerful. All of sankhara or mental states or activity, inclusive of all your feelings and perception, they are impermanent, for they arise and pass away constantly, and they are in a state of continuous flux. Thought activity also come and go, arise and pass away, is birth and death, appearing and disappearing, exhibiting its characteristics of impermanence constantly. With wisdom within, one can see all this clearly, whereas the mundane mind without wisdom is very heedless, constantly lost in thought, preoccupied with the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. When you think a lot, you are no longer mindful, heedful, you cannot see. Then when you act according to memory, you are so conditioned. That's why you cannot see. You don't have that clarity, the wisdom, the understanding. So all this are very beautifully explained. Huh? So without wisdom, you will suffer, you will become afflicted, miserable. So wisdom within is very important. Huh? That's why you have to cultivate the initial wisdom via first and second turning. Then via bhavana, mayapanya, the third turning wisdom, means through the direct seeing to awaken to the universal characteristic. So once you can do that, then wisdom will arise. So with wisdom within, Your mind has clarity. You can see clearly. Whereas the mundane mind without wisdom is muddy, clouded, deluded, heedless. They call you an like you don't have clarity at all. It's like the muddy water. There is no clarity. Means the sediment, the evil roots, the negativity of mind state, the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity, scars, all these haunt you and make you miserable. You constantly worry about things, project your thought, and all these are not the reality, but you don't know. Your thought make you so miserable and you still believe the thought. That's why wrong thought is very dangerous. And what are wrong thought? Always remember, thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and unhappiness, your selfishness, your desire, your craving, your envy, your jealousy, all these are wrong thought. So when you have all this mind state, negativity of mind state, then you tell yourself, these are wrong thought. The evils are there. Means you are not cultivating. You are being heedless. Because the real cultivator of the way will cultivate right view leading to right thought. But you are not cultivating. That's why you are heedlessly creating wrong thought. If you are doing that, then you are not on the right path. You have deviated. Then don't call yourself a Buddhist. Because a true Buddhist is a cultivator who has the Dhamma understanding and cultivate according to the Dhamma. How can a true Buddhist create wrong thought until depressed and miserable? Then something is wrong, isn't it? It's very easy to differentiate, isn't it? What type of cultivator are you? So sometimes I use this word. You want to call yourself a Buddhist, be careful, check first. Are you really worthy of the Buddha's teaching? The very least you must have to call yourself a Buddhist is you must at least understand the basic teaching of the Buddha. Means follow the advice of the Buddha. If you cannot even follow the basic advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, the good, and purify your mind, then please don't call yourself a Buddhist. Because really shameful. Shameful. But for those who are new, beginner, don't worry. Because you haven't developed the clear understanding. So it's quite natural for people who are new to the Dhamma to have this type of heedless thinking and wrong view. Some even long time with the Dhamma and supposed to be cultivator to a meditator, they still don't have this understanding. So not easy, really not easy to have the condition to understand the true teaching, the true Dhamma is not easy. So with all this explanation and sharing, I believe by now it's very easy for you to check for yourself whether you're on the right path or not, whether you cultivated it correctly or not. So these are all very useful. I will read on. My teacher used to tell me, finally, there is only pure awareness, which is the true mind. This I came to realize later, when the rather gross mundane or thinking mind collapsed, leading to the true mind, which is just pure awareness and silence within. It is so fine and as if there is no more mind. It's like the pure nature or awareness just shining forth from within. When the mundane mind is no more, all this becomes clear. It's just like the sun's ray. When the cloud disperse on a clear sky day, you see the light shining in. It's no longer clouded. Your mundane mind is no longer there to cloud your nature. Actually, your nature awareness is there all the time, it will shine forth. So for those who have gone through the cultivation correctly, they will realize all this. Okay, I'll read on. But there is such a thing as lying, even though it's only within the moment. This part is very important. As we have established earlier, the past is already gone, hence it's not a reality anymore. Similarly, future is yet to happen, so it's also not a reality. Hence, the only reality in life or existence is the present moment. And moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Inquire. Hence, the only reality in existence is the present moment. And moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Every thought just arises and passes away very quickly. So as real as it can be, it is only there or existed only within that moment when it arises. After that, it is gone. Dead and gone. See this clearly. Because moment to moment, life passes by. And that is the only reality, that present moment. How stable is that present moment? Split second is dead and gone. It's very, very transient. And that is the only reality in life. Why can't you just wake up to this reality? Is there any reality in life? That's the reason why I like that Mandarin song, Wang Si Zi Neng Hui Wei. You can only recall the past. There is no more reality. It's only memory that recall. Because everything exists within the moment. Split second is day and gone. Split second is day and gone. So do wake up and do not dream or sleep anymore. The phenomenal world of consciousness is not what you think. As long as you are not deluded to grasp and cling, then you are okay and you won't be afflicted. So don't hold, don't grasp and don't cling or attach to anything, even to your memories. Then you will be free and peaceful always. Without delusion and ignorance, you are beautiful. When you can see things as they are, then you will not be deluded by them. The form and mind will be clear to you. Then there will be no more entanglement to cause you any more mental suffering. The reason being, the mind has awakened to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Hence, you are no longer gullible. It's actually so simple, exactly like I explained. After you have awakened, you can put them in words. And the thing that I share with you is what the nature has awakened to. And it's just so simple. Understand the only reality is only the present moment. And how stable is the present moment? Split second is day and gone. So how real can it be? Even though it is impermanent, transient, empty, not what you think, but there is such thing as life. That aspect, you need wisdom. You need both the supramundane and the mundane wisdom. Because the conditioned world has its own mundane wisdom. That's why all of the Dhamma exists within the conditioned world. But within the unconditioned, all this conditioned world Dhamma doesn't exist. That's why it's the complete opposite, because it's the unconditioned. The existential world is the conditioned world. So you have to understand both sides. I read on, then you will understand. With heedfulness well established, the mind is constantly aware of all your mental movement and intention. You will come to know how you are conditioned into negativity via your own mind's delusion that condition you to grasp and cling onto the five aggregates of form and mind as the I and the me and the mind. You will also come to know how your like and dislike comes to be via your reaction to sense experience. means to what you see and perceive at the moment of sense experience. When you lack wisdom or yoniso manasikara, means wise attention at the moment of sense experience, you will come to experience all of the Four Noble Truths, the dependent origination, the dwelling, and how your mind functions. We are witnessing the dwellings occurring within your mind. Always be aware within and develop the ability to use the trained mind in heedfulness to cultivate the penetrative wisdom born of the direct seeing, to clearly awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta, to liberate your mind. You will come to witness how all your feelings arise and pass away like a bubble. All of your perception, activity of mind, and mental consciousness also exhibit the same characteristics of impermanence, leading to your ability to realize the anatta nature, anatta and suffering nature within all phenomena. So all this is possible. Okay. Finish? No more. Oh, still got part two. What's the time now? Oh, we have to stop already. Okay, maybe we stop here. Huh? Part two will continue next Monday. Next Tuesday, sorry. Okay. So page 113. Okay, part two is form is emptiness, and emptiness is form. This part also quite interesting. Then after that is meditation. Now meditation also very interesting. Oh, this lesson 21 is very good. A lot of beautiful teaching. Okay, maybe we will stop here.